Blog Talk Radio.
Who that assemblyman is, Conan.
That's right. We have now another California legislator formally accused of sexual assault. Just moments ago, two women, we have pictures to show you, told a Sacramento news conference that both had been sexually harassed. One called it assault by California State Assemblyman Matt DeBobney, Democrat of Woodland Hills. He took office in 2014, and prior to that, he served as an executive aide or a legislative aide for Congressman Brad Sherman in the San Fernando Valley office. Now, the two individuals, one says that he actually took her into a bathroom where he closed the door, locked it, and masturbated in front of her. The other individual, identified as Jessica Yaz Barker, worked in the district office for Congressman Sherman, where Mr. DeBobney worked, and said he frequently referred to her in sexual comments, one time opened up a drawer and saw some condoms in it. This is what they had to say moments ago.
There are other women who have been sexually harassed by Matt DeBobney, and I can't have it on my conscience that this may happen again.
It was pretty much an open secret in the San Fernando Valley that this is how Matt behaved. Unfortunately, it was largely brushed off. Just this last weekend, I met a woman who told me her daughter is interning in Matt's office. All I could think to tell her was to get her out of there as quickly as possible.
Now, both women say they came forward because of the assembly rules chair, who said they want named names. They want individuals to tell them exactly who has been sexually harassing individuals. They say it is a rampant problem in Sacramento. One individual has already agreed to leave. That is Raul Bocanegra, Democrat of Pacoima, but it looks like more are under pressure, possibly to leave office. We will check with the Assemblyman's office, that is Matt DeBobney. As soon as we get hold of a response, we'll get it to you. I'm Conan Nolan, NBC4 News.
Thank you. Well, right now, LA City Attorney Mike Feuer is going after Uber after the rideshare giant failed to disclose a 2016 data breach that impacted 600,000 drivers across the United States. Just moments ago, the city of Los Angeles announced a major lawsuit against Uber. NBC4's Tony Gignard was there and joins us live from downtown Los Angeles. Tony?
Good morning. Yes, the LA city attorney definitely taking a swipe at Uber. The lawsuit was filed this morning on behalf of the people of the state of California. Take a look at some video as the city attorney held a news conference. It wrapped up just about 10 minutes ago. The city attorney is stressing this lawsuit is all about consumer protection and what Uber should have done once it learned of the data breach last year. California law requires those people impacted by the breach to be notified in a timely manner. The city attorney says not only did that not happen, the breach was discovered last year and was not acknowledged publicly until last month. Mr. Feuer alleges Uber paid the hackers to stay quiet and had been signed non-disclosure agreements, given the names and driver's licenses of some 600,000 Uber drivers in the United States were accessed. The city attorney's office wants Uber to pay penalties.
Under California law, the penalty is up to $2,500 per violation. And under California law, if our office is bringing such an action, those penalties are divided half between our office and half with the county of Los Angeles. Those penalties must be attributed exclusively to protecting consumers in the future.
The city attorney does not know exactly how many Uber drivers affected by the breach are working in LA City or county. He says by filing the lawsuit, they will get those details in the information. He also left the door open for expanding this lawsuit, given some personal information of Uber customers was also accessed. The city attorney's office using hashtag suing Uber as part of this campaign, and it's just beginning. I'm Tony Gignard, reporting live from downtown L.A., back to you in the studio.
Tony, thank you very much. Ontario police say they've identified a teenager seen on video throwing a cat. We're only going to show you part of the video because it's very disturbing, but it's still difficult to watch. Video shows a boy tossing the cat into the street. The animal can be seen hitting the ground, clearly in pain. The cat, named Spots, was taken to an emergency clinic in the Inland Empire. Vets say the cat has a broken leg and believe she also suffered internal injuries. You can see Spots now has a cast on one leg and wrapping on its front leg. No arrests have been made, but police say they know who the boy is. They just haven't located him. He could face a felony animal cruelty charge if he's caught.
Well, family and friends of a man stabbed to death outside of a Walmart in Temecula held a candlelight vigil to celebrate the 19-year-old. Loved ones gathering at the Wade Family Church in Murrieta to remember Kevin Rodriguez. Rodriguez was stabbed to death last Wednesday in what his parents say was a road rage attack. Now, the man accused of killing Rodriguez is expected to be arraigned sometime today on a charge of voluntary manslaughter.
President Trump is encouraging Alabama voters to get behind and battle Republican Roy Moore. The president tweeted that Moore needs to win Alabama because his vote is needed on stopping crime, illegal immigration, the border wall, and other issues. Moore has faced allegations of sexual misconduct. He denies the allegations. He released a statement a short time ago thanking the president for his endorsement.
And speaking of the president, he's also defending his former national security advisor. Here's what President Trump said this morning.
Well, I feel badly for General Flynn. I feel very badly. He's led a very strong life, and I feel very badly, John. I will say this. Hillary Clinton lied many times to the FBI. Nothing happened to her. Flynn lied, and they destroyed his life. I think it's a shame.
Well, remember the big news last Friday, Michael Flynn pleading guilty to lying to the FBI about his interactions with Russia. Well, he's now cooperating with the special counsel's investigation. So did Michael Flynn ever say or do anything to influence Russian President Vladimir Putin? His spokesman said no. As you know, Flynn pleaded guilty last Friday to lying to the FBI about those contacts. Prosecutors said the Russian ambassador to the U.S. discussed economic sanctions for interfering with the U.S. election. Flynn asked him to not respond in kind to the new sanctions, but the Kremlin claims Putin's decision to hold off from retaliating was made independently and has nothing to do with Flynn.
Utah about to announce plans to shrink two national monuments there. Mr. Trump was joined by the Utah Senator Orrin Hatch there, whom he is encouraging to seek re-election. In fact, we just learned that NBC News has confirmed that former presidential nominee Mitt Romney may also consider a run for an open Utah Senate seat. Two more stories to watch today on the NBC4 and the NBCLA app. The U.S. Supreme Court takes up a case on sports betting today. The case involves New Jersey's Governor Chris Christie.
And no burn order is in effect for people living in L.A., Orange, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties. Fine particles and wood smoke can cause problems for people with respiratory disorders.
I've
been several outbreaks
detected in Lexington, Florida, this is
39
reports. Since August,
the disease
does not affect humans, but can be fatal.
Don't like your little game. Don't like your tilted stage. The role you made me play, the fool. No, I don't like you. I don't like your perfect crime. How you laugh when you lie. You said the gun was mine. You're cool. No, I don't like you.
But you all get your own. But I got smarter, I got harder in the nick of time. be the actress starring in your bad dreams. I don't trust nobody and nobody trusts me. I'll be the actress starring in your bad dreams. I don't trust nobody and nobody trusts me.
Sunflower seeds in a box of larger size Magnum rubber, a generic lemon squeeze, lime juice, and a bottle of gold slug, a pack of liquid liquor and lock them zigzags, and a hard boiled egg and a pickled pig feet. Shoot, I gotta do as much kicking it and partying as I can. I gotta go turn myself in next week.
So don't ask me. I know a gang of motherfuckers say they gon' blast me. Catch me dipping to some screw. Attitude rude, dripping sweat. About to finger fuck this tech. I leave him stretched, reaching for a rifle. Got him a pump before a nigga to dump, to dump. I ain't no punk. Nigga, this be my for she's and for them chippers and cheese. See, we think.
Give me some volumes and some Rubicus and watch me do it. Get my cancel stick into some bombing fluid. Show your ID and pass it right back to me, cousin. Cause see, I'm a minor. These wet daddies got your partner sweating like a drippy ass vagina. Get me up in this bitch ass club security, or up me and my guys gon' bum rush these doors. Make it so there won't be no more rap shoes. Yeah, that's what I thought. I see wall to wall holes, bitches everywhere all over the place. Niggas tricking off their green marbles just so hoes can sit on their face. Number two, and it's confidential, hold it on your chest. Check. Number three, don't be fucking with me. Number four, no more toe-to-toe. The only way to let these motherfuckers know is to flex. Wet their ass up, leave them bleeding like a Kotex. Boy, we one tight-knit ass click. Niggas in my outfit, don't be ratting, rolling over six. Spilling beans, tattletelling.
We be leaving, conniving. The way that we surviving, know this bitch that's balling. And tonight she calling, wanna know if we can go kick it and smoke. Get her keys as hell and maybe hit a hotel. I'm on my cell, thinking, yeah, I'm cool with that. Hit the Kit Kat and get her sprees before I get her for G's. Pippin' is the game and I'm loving the flirt. Run my fingers up her tennis skirt.
Front and back. and side to side. Stop running back and side to side. Stop running back and side to side.
Never let hoe-ass niggas ride.
Welcome, friends, to another edition of Economic Update, a weekly program devoted to the economic dimensions of our lives. Jobs, incomes, debts, our own, those of our children, those in the larger society we live in. I'm your host, Richard Wolf. I've been a professor of economics all my adult life, and I hope that that has prepared me well to present these weekly updates to get an idea of what's going on in the economy around us. I begin one more time with the Uber Corporation. I talk about them because it's important to understand that the so-called gig economy or the so-called startup economy has another side to it, which their publicity hides, but which it's important to understand. First, the stark facts that were recently released. A year ago, 2016, hackers broke into the Uber system and thereby got all kinds of information, credit card numbers, addresses, all of that, of, get this, 57 million Uber customers and drivers a year ago. We learned about it over a year later. It was hidden by the Uber company. They knew all about it for a year. But the news gets worse. A ransom was demanded by the hackers in order not to use and go public with what they had achieved. And the Uber Corporation paid them $100,000, good deal for the hackers, to hide all of this. But as these things will, it came to light. What does this mean? Well, it means that Uber lied to us by not telling us, 57 million of us, that our information had been compromised for a year. Lord knows how many people's lives were messed up in terms of their credit and a whole lot of other things like that over that period of time. A ransom was paid? That's how the corporation handled it? Well, let's see what that means. Here's what it probably means without having the books of the Uber company available. You can't be sure, but it probably means that companies like Uber, which accumulate all kinds of very valuable information, ought to spend a lot of money making sure these private bits of information are secure. Clearly, Uber didn't do that. And maybe Uber calculates, like no doubt other ones of these companies do, that it's cheaper to pay off the hackers $100,000 than to make sure that our information, given freely to Uber, is secure. And this leads to the general conclusion about companies like Uber. Basically, Uber provides taxi rides. That's right. They do the same thing that a taxi company does. You get involved with them, you call them, you hail them, and they take you where you want to go. That's what Uber does. Only this is a difference. Years ago, when taxi rides began, and people discovered that the taxi might not be safe, might not be maintained correctly, might not have the adequate insurance it needs, we discovered that the private taxi company would shave the corners to make more money. And so to protect the public, we instituted commissions. And the commissions made the taxi companies take the necessary precautions. And that, of course, is expensive. So what the commissions did was set the taxi rides at a price that would pay the driver and pay the company enough money to meet the demands of the commissions for our safety. All that Uber is a way around the safety. And thereby they can compete with taxis because they don't have to maintain the safety. They don't have to maintain the vetting of the driver. They don't have to maintain the insurances that a regular taxi company has. So they could make more profits, which they did. And we pay the price. You know how? The drivers aren't as good. The insurance isn't as good. The maintenance isn't as good. And now we discover that the security of our information isn't very good. Taxi companies didn't accumulate that information. We didn't have to be protected. Now we discover, like with taxis, we need a commission to oversee this company because in its drive for profit, it sacrifices the public. That's a problem with a capitalist system where profit is the bottom line, not serving the customer. That's only the means to get the bottom line up there, and we can see what that means. My next update has to do with sugar. Sugar is a crucial item in the diet of the United States and of many other countries. Sugar producers, that is the capitalist companies that raise, process, package, and all the rest, sugar, have an association, like all industry groups. It's called the Sugar Research Foundation. It turns out in an article published in the academic or scientific journal PLOS Biology, November 21st of this year, they reported on research of three professors at the University of California in San Francisco that back in the 1960s, the Sugar Research Foundation sponsored some scientific research to look into the question, what is the relationship between sugar consumption on the one hand, heart disease, and bladder cancer on the other? And when that research began to suggest to scientists that there was a connection that would be important to let everybody know about, the Sugar Research Foundation abruptly stopped the research, stopped the funding of the research, and so in the intervening half a century, we have been kept in the dark about that potentially crucial research. Obviously, because it was not in the interest of the sugar businesses to rescue us from what they were doing and making profits. Another sign of the danger of putting the food production of our society in the hands of companies whose first objective is not the safety or nutritional value of what they produce. My third update today has to do, this will come as a big surprise, with President Donald Trump. I know you perhaps have already heard enough or more than enough about what he's doing, but this is something you may not have heard about. You know, in the past, politicians knew it was appropriate to keep a certain distance between themselves as political office holders and business interests about making money. With Mr. Trump, the notion of keeping a distance has disappeared. And in a way, that's very helpful because you can see what was kind of hidden before nice and clearly presented to you. So I'm going to go through five recent business activities that Mr. Trump has been involved in because I think it's an important part of understanding what the leadership of this country now involves.
All right, before he goes through all five, we're going to take a break.
goes on, and the beat goes on.
Thank you.
as political office holders and business interests about making money. With Mr. Trump, the notion of keeping a distance has disappeared. And in a way, that's very helpful because you can see what was kind of hidden before nice and clearly presented to you. So I'm going to go through five recent business activities that Mr. Trump has been involved in, because I think it's an important part of understanding what the leadership of this country now involves. Number one, in New York City, there is a Trump Soho Hotel in Lower Manhattan. It is having a hard time. It turns out that New Yorkers and people visiting New York seem not to like to see the Trump name on the hotel, and so they haven't been going there. Occupancy rates are poor. Money is not being made, and so a divorce has been arranged between the Trump Organization and that hotel so that it won't be the Trump Hotel anymore, because that's the strategy of how to make this hotel pay. Score one against Mr. Trump's financial interest. Here's another part of that story. That hotel is partly a hotel and partly a set of condominium apartments. The condominium owners have together sued the Trump Organization because they claim in order to buy those co-op apartments, they were given figures by the Trump Organization which inflated the amount of money being spent and the number of these apartments that were being sold, to create the impression that there was a groundswell of demand for these choice pieces of real estate. Turns out that those numbers weren't accurate, at least that's the claim, of the condo owners living in the same building. But now it gets juicier. Let's turn to the following statistic, which I have to admit, when I first encountered it, was so overwhelmingly I did a double and triple check just to make sure the numbers are right. Mr. Trump has been president for roughly 400 days as we produce this program. Listen to this. On 100 days out of the 400 he's been president, he visited one or more of his own properties. Let me explain what this means. On a trip to some foreign country, he makes stops along the way, not because he has business to do in terms of being the president. It's because he's got with him an army of press people who will take good pictures of him at this hotel, that golf course, this hotel and golf course. This is publicity that would cost millions if it were paid for, but it's on your dime and my dime because he's traveling in the presidential jet. If he did it once in a blue moon, you'd think it was kind of tasteless. He did it 100 days out of the 400 he's been a president. This is a systematic self-promotion of his business interests. In the month of November 2017, we have a new business on the internet. It's called TrumpStore.com. It sells hats, polos, and other golf gear with the Trump name on it. I'm going to let that sink in. And now the last one. Republican Party groups have decided it's a good idea to locate their events at the properties owned by the president. So the last one I heard of, and so I decided to bring it to your attention, in early November of this year, at Mar-a-Lago in Florida, the Republican Attorneys General Association of the United States had a dinner with their most important corporate donors. It cost $125,000 per person to attend this event, and it was for a weekend at Mar-a-Lago. All that money had to be paid to Mr. Trump, who owns the facility. This is a level of mixing politics and business that goes beyond what we've had in the past. I'll leave you to draw your own conclusions. Before going on to the remaining updates, I want to remind you, we maintain two websites that I want to urge you to visit and make use of, rdwolf with two s.com and democracyatwork.info. That's all one word, democracyatwork.info. There's a great deal of material that we load up to these websites every day. It's there to enhance, to elaborate, to extend what we do on this program. It's available to you 24/7, no charge whatsoever. These websites allow you also to communicate with us what you like and don't like about the program, what you'd like to see us do. These websites allow you to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, to see what we're doing on YouTube, and so on. It's a resource that we make available to partner with you in making the reach of all that we do even greater than it would be if it was just us alone rather than in partnership with you. For those of you that are listening to this program, if you would like to see the televised version of the program, please visit us at patreon.com, that's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/economic update for the television version of the program. Returning to our economic update, I want to talk about what is for me a personal tragedy because I live in New York City. The tragedy I'm talking about is the subway system. This is a fundamental public service. Millions of people rely upon this institution to get to and from work, to get to and from business, jobs, friends, associates, family members, you name it. It's the way you move around a big city scattered across five big boroughs. But the subway system in this, the largest city in America, the city most visited by folks from other parts of the world, let me tell you about the condition that it's in. First, daily ridership, 5.7 million people use the subways every day. That is double the number of people who used it 20 years ago. In other words, we have an enormous increase in the need for, the reliance on, the social importance of this mass transportation system. The percentage of weekday trains that reach their destinations on time, 65%. That is the worst performance of any major transit system anywhere in the world, including other cities in the United States. There are many transportation subway systems around the world that have records in the high 90% of on-time performance. There is no excuse, no necessity for this dereliction of service.
One thing I would point out, Professor Wolf, is those cities that have to be, that are failing the most with regard to infrastructure, unfortunately, are all, and those states are all ran by Democrats. And you got to begin to look at this. California and New York paid the highest taxes in the nation. So the tax bill is going to kill us and every citizen of those states, unless you are independently wealthy. You got big and little lives. I'm done.